This show is sponsored by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and with Chris, we're back on the Paracast. And it's interesting, you know, how discussions on the show fuel further interviews. So last week, for example, our guest Micah Hanks mentioned having a conversation with Robert Schaefer, one of the most famous UFO skeptics on the planet, and that discussion got me thinking, hey, let's have Robert Schaefer on the show. I've known the guy for like 40 years or something. Let's get him on the show and see what he has to say and see if he has great answers to your questions and ours, and he said yes. So a little bit later we'll be hearing from Robert Schaefer, and we'll also have questions from Micah Hanks, who's posted them in our forums at forum.theparacast.com. Now, on last week's show, Chris decided to give away the store. Didn't you, Chris?
Not really, but I guess that's what I'm doing.
What he means is that he's giving away a free copy of the ebook version of Secrets of the Mysterious Valley. It's a great book, over 440 pages. Still a lot of stuff in there. And if you sign up to the Paracast newsletter, you get a copy of the ebook.
Have fun. It's a good book. I like it. It kind of shows the reader what it's like to run around a very remote area and be the only go-to person, really, for people to report unusual events to, and create a database for somehow fielding these reports, investigating them, and then hopefully at some point analyzing this data. Obviously, we have the garbage in, garbage out scenario, but I think over the years I was able to come to, I think, a pretty good place of being able to discount particular sighting events with mundane explanations. But I think the San Luis Valley has a higher percentage of real reports or reports that can't be explained away than your average location out there. And I think the book does a good job of showing, highlighting, and focusing on some cases that are particularly of the head-scratching variety.
Definitely a lot of head-scratching mysteries there in the Mysterious Valley. So once again, let me give you the deal. You go to theparacast.com. Right there above the fold is a little form where you enter your email address to subscribe to the Paracast newsletter. When we get your subscription, we'll send you out a copy of the ebook version of Secrets of the Mysterious Valley in the next couple of days. Just send out a bunch this morning. And so far, the system isn't automated, so I literally had to manually drag each address. This is really, you know, 19th century stuff here. Drag each mail address into the email form. And we also have to thank Apple for being able to do this properly, because Apple's got a new operating system called Yosemite, and I'm using a developer version. And this book is pretty big. It's like nearly 22 megabytes in size. But because of the miracle of Apple's new mail drop feature, I can send it out to anyone. And if you can't actually accept the attachment, you see a little link in the email, and you click on the link and you get your file. That was Apple. So those of you who are using PCs, that's one advantage in the new operating system, being able to send these humongous attachments. I remember when Chris was writing the book Stalking the Herd, and you were sending me stuff like 100 megabytes big, something like that.
Right.
Really? Yep. Big stuff.
Yep.
And because of the way we had the email system, we were able to receive it. So there you go. Theparacast.com. Sign up for the weekly newsletter. It has a weekly commentary and information about the next episode of the show and a few other announcements. You get a free copy. And this is what we call the limited time offer. It's going to continue for a while. We're not sure how long, but right now we'll continue the offer. Secrets of the Mysterious Valley. And this is coming right out of Chris's pocket. It's a really indicates his generosity to take the show to the next level. So let's appreciate that. Meantime, so many fascinating discussions are going on in our forum at forum.theparacast.com. And there is one online publication that's trying to pretend it's their idea. And that is this sort of debate that's going on between Stanton Friedman and James Carrion over the book, The Rosetta Deception. And as you recall, Stan said, the book is baloney. At least the concept is baloney before reading the book. After he read the book, he agreed it was baloney. Regardless, there's been a back and forth discussion with our members, with James Carrion, and occasionally comments from Stanton Friedman in our forums at forum.theparacast.com. And as I said, there was some online information about a debate between these two, quoted a couple of old articles from both, didn't mention where it started, which was right here. So there you go. It started right here, this discussion about these two gentlemen and what they felt about it. What's your take on this, Chris? Do you think there's a huge amount of disinformation in those early cases, maybe even Roswell?
Well, I think that those crucial years, 46 through 50, we see a tremendous amount of deception. We see the beginnings of the ridicule factor being instituted into mainstream media. Of course, the Robertson panel ended this time period, and it's been it's been downhill ever since. I really do have a sense that the government is all about control and maintaining and attaining and maintaining control. And when something like the UAP or UFO phenomenon comes along that they don't have control over, they're going to bend over backwards to make it appear as if there's nothing going on, that it should be ridiculed, or they kind of hint around and wink, wink, that this technology actually might be ours. And I think we see the underpinnings of this, beginning with the ghost rocket scenario during those few hectic months in 46, and then, of course, Roswell the following year.
So whatever might have happened, they certainly took good advantage of it.
Exactly. And I think James did a good job digging up some pretty intriguing, very interesting documents, putting certain individuals, certain Navy ships, looking at their involvement in other other deception ploys. And then, you know, I think he laid out a good case that there is a lot of very interesting circumstantial evidence that would support the his contention that this was all some sort of PSYOPS program.
Of course, he's going to write a book about Roswell, and it's coming. And I have little doubt that his conclusion about Roswell will be, once again, either test aircraft or PSYOP. Yeah. Now, that is also the curious situation here where the early belief system about UFOs was that they were spaceships. And I guess what is partly disturbing here is the fact that it may very well be this impression was created by the very same authorities who supposedly were trying to debunk that theory.
Yeah. That's called baking the cake and eating it, too.
Yeah, taking advantage of both sides. Of course, they did that with Roswell. They first said, oh, it's a flying disc. Oh, no, it's a balloon. And I thought of that old commercial for something or other where they said, stop, you're both right. Or in this case, maybe they're both wrong. I don't know. I would like to get a debate, a real debate going between Carrion and Friedman, but Carrion wants to restrict it just to the ghost rockets. And I think that's too restrictive because you have to take those things to the logical conclusions where they lead.
Yeah, I agree. It would have to be opened up more than that.
Oh, yes. You can't really do it that way. Otherwise, it would be a very short discussion. It would be, yes, it was baloney. No, it wasn't baloney. Here's why, and there you go. But we'll see what happens. Meantime, the discussion is continuing over at forum.theparacast.com. So check it out. James Carrion, a lot of our members, and occasional participation by Stanton Friedman. But we've got the UFO skeptic himself, Robert Schaefer, Coming up next with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
It's the heart of summer across America. Thoughts turn to childhood and long days of fun. Everybody would love to feel like a kid again. And HB Extract can be a vital tool in your battle to stay vibrant and young, as it supports healthy blood pressure and circulation while balancing cholesterol. GCN and longtime sponsor HB Extract want to help keep your heart healthy with the 30 bottles, 30 days summer giveaway. Enter to win by visiting GCNlive.com between now and August 29th and click on the contest banner in the top left corner of the page. HB Extract has helped tens of thousands of people worldwide feel good again, and they've done it with HB Extract's exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. Here's to you enjoying many more long, warm, and fun-filled summers, free of pain and sickness. Visit GCNlive.com and enter to win in the 30-bottle, 30-day summer giveaway with HB Extract. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Sign up now at GCNlive.com.
Whoa! This is big!
By popular demand, the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale has been extended. Now through August, save 30 to 45% on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Now's the time to stock up on all factory fresh stock of the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45%. But hurry, supplies are limited, so this sale is only through the end of August. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguide.com. Hurry! The Giant Factory Authorized Mountain House Sale with savings of 30 to 45% is extended through August from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So this week we have one of the most famous UFO skeptics on the planet, Robert Schaefer, joining us, someone I've known for many, many years. And we haven't had deep discussions, but we've been in touch. Robert, welcome to the Paracast.
Thank you, Gene. It's good to be here.
Now, according to your bio, the original skeptics movement came out between you and James Oberg and Philip Klass, right?
Well, as far as the UFO skeptics movement, it was part of a larger movement of PsyCop at the time with the amazing Randy and Paul Kurtz and Carl Sagan and so on. So, but yeah, as far as the UFO skeptics, the ones who actually got into studying cases and trying to understand and trying to explain them, it was really was Phil Klass who sort of, should we say, he was like the nucleus, and he got a bunch of followers, myself included, Jim Oberg, Gary Posner, and so on, the late Michael Bennett. And this was, I first contacted Phil Klass, I think it was 1968 or something like that. I was a student at Northwestern at the time. Of course, at Northwestern in the astronomy department was J. Allen Hynek, who was the chairman of the department. And I took astronomy courses under him, got to know him to a fair extent. And I had these discussions with Hynek. Basically, it was that he felt that, you know, if credible persons reported incredible things, then these incredible things must be really happening. And we have to bend science to try to explain them. And I was arguing, oh, look at all these other things. Look at these historical accounts of witchcraft and people being burned because supposedly a woman had changed herself into a rabbit or something like that. And we have credible witnesses saying that they saw her change herself into a rabbit. And it's not just that. You got the whole thing with all the angels and miracles and whatever else going back hundreds of years. And this is just, you know, more of the same. So basically, it was I was arguing that you can't really take something too seriously if it's just a witness with no proof trying to claim something that it seems to be, you know, impossible or at least seems to be outside our normal understanding of science in the real world.
Now, let me go into that as we continue discussing the history of the organization. That is here. We can take eyewitness testimony and sometimes convict somebody of murder. Oh, John Smith did it. I saw him. Three or four people identify him. Obviously, it's not the final bit of evidence, but it's a pretty compelling case, isn't it?
Well, it would depend. Again, you would have to look at a lot of things. In the case of eyewitness testimony in a courtroom, there could be the possibility of bias or an agenda or something like that. Here, I don't think it's so much that. Occasionally, it may be, but you have to remember that what sets the scientific method apart from other methods or other areas of inquiry is that it has to be, you know, objective and fact-based. Now, the very first scientific society that existed was the Royal Society of London, which was founded back in 1660. And so we're talking more than 350 years ago. And their motto was, and still is to this day, a Latin motto, nullius in verba, which literally means from nobody in words, or better yet, more colloquially, it means take no one's word for it. That's what set the Royal Society and all subsequent scientific societies founded on that model apart from other groups and other types of organizations and individuals who are trying to investigate the real world. They basically said, if all you have are words, you don't have anything. So it had to be some sort of something measurable, something repeatable. And that's really what the difference is. And where people like Hynek and Jacques Vallée and so on are going wrong, in my opinion, is that they are thinking that it's just perfectly okay to base scientific theories on what witnesses think they saw. Whereas today, we have a lot of information, especially researchers in psychology, people like Elizabeth Loftus and many others doing research on human memory and its accuracy. And they're finding that not only can it be wildly inaccurate, but often it's malleable in the sense that based on discussions or based on reading or information that a person acquires afterward, after the incident, that may actually change their memory of the incident, according to, you know, like if you say, if you show somebody a video and, you know, let's say there's a staged car crash on a video and you ask, did you see a stop sign? A certain percentage will say yes. If you say, did you see the stop sign? A greater number of people will say yes, even if there was no stop sign in the video.
So, they don't want to admit they didn't see something that was possibly there. But wouldn't that also argue in favor of the fact that if you are going to depend at all on eyewitness testimony, get it as early as possible before memories are polluted?
Absolutely. That's, I think, a very important point. And you have to apply that to the, especially to these very big and complicated cases. Like, you know, people will say, for example, in the case of Betty and Barney Hill, who allegedly saw this light in the sky before they believed that they were abducted. And you'll hear people say, well, she couldn't have seen Jupiter in that early part of the sighting because she said she saw it go across the face of the moon. No, she didn't say that at the time. She said that later, several years later, that was added to the story. So these are the kinds of things, especially when you have a big, complicated case like some of these big classics like Betty and Barney Hill. You have to look not just what was said, but when was it said and how did the story change over time?
Okay, but whatever they saw originally, what did they remember under hypnosis? Was that made up? Because the person who hypnotized them is not someone you would accuse of leading them on.
No, he certainly did not have any agenda. That's not in question, Dr. Simon. He was a very competent psychiatrist. But the entire idea of hypnosis as a memory recovery tool is now very much discredited among psychologists. You know, the organizations like, you know, American Psychiatric Association and so on are basically on record as saying that, you know, is hypnosis is not a credible way to recover memories. That unfortunately, what turns up much of the time is fantasy. Or fabrication, not necessarily in a negative sense, it's just almost like imagination. So there'll be a mixture of reality and fantasy in or there can be in a hypnosis story. So for that reason, nobody uses it in that serious sense anymore, except for a few UFO abductionists who use it all the time. It's not admissible in court because it is recognized as not being credible. And in fact, worse than that, if a witness has had hypnosis to attempt to recall more information or whatever, that witness is subsequently, the testimony can be challenged and thrown out.
We're talking about the value of hypnosis in research, maybe even in abduction research. More to come with Robert Schaefer, UFO skeptic, and more. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
What good is a big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
In our previous segment, we were talking about the value of hypnosis, and certainly even people in the UFO field who accept the reality of UFOs do dismiss the value of hypnotic regression. One example of that, of course, is Kevin Randall. We have Robert Schaefer joining us. So let's continue with this discussion. All right, so experiences are unearthed, but in the case of Barney and Betty Hill, what do you think happened to them?
What I think happened was that they were driving along here now, and a point that people often miss is they had been driving for, I don't know how many hours, 16 hours or something like that. So they were trying to make it home before, I guess there was some storm expected or hurricane or something like that. And also it seems that they basically didn't have money for a hotel, and so they were going to just push on and drive and get home from Canada rather than staying one more night and then coming back in a more relaxed state. Basically, they pulled an all-nighter in trying to drive back. And Betty apparently saw an object in the sky that to her was a UFO, and it seemed to be following them. But, of course, you know, as you drive along and you look at the moon, the moon appears to be following you as you drive along. It's a very common illusion. The same thing with any celestial object. And so she saw this and got excited. And because of her excited state, gradually got Barney excited. And the two of them got so excited that they drove off. And it's not clear. They may have stopped somewhere for a little while. But in any case, when they finally got home and went to bed, they didn't think anything was wrong. But they... Betty called up her sister the next day. Her sister happens to be the mother of Kathleen Marden, and who was herself, Betty's sister, was a big UFO buff, and said, well, you won't believe what happened to us, and told her the story. And gradually the story got out there and became bigger and bigger. More people came. If you read The Interrupted Journey, you'll see how many people actually came to listen to UFO investigators to talk to Betty and Barney and to hear their story. And, of course, some of them suggested, well, it may have been missing time. Although if you realize how skinny those little roads are, and the fact that Barney and talks about, you know, having to, he was watching and he was driving so slowly, he had to put the car in first gear so the engine wouldn't stall. So it's not exactly, you know, a race car course there. So
you're saying there was no missing time?
There probably wasn't. But again, we don't know exactly what the time scale is because, you know, Betty has made inconsistent statements about, you know, what time they arrived here and what time they arrived there. In fact, even this notion that they began the thing at 10 o'clock up in, was it Goldbrook, even that apparently came from a hypnosis thing that when Barney was under hypnosis, he told Dr. Simon he remembered seeing the clock and the clock said 5 minutes after 10 o'clock. But again, any detail like that under hypnosis, you really can't rely on it. So we really don't know for sure what time they started out in New Hampshire, and we don't really know what they did along the way. They say that they stopped several times, but we don't know for how long. So it's very difficult to say. But even if there is so-called missing time, there's nothing necessarily supernatural about it. It could be just, you know, basically sitting there and wondering about it and losing track of time.
You know, again, I've always had my doubts about the abduction phenomenon, and I'm not really happy that we're starting out with this particular so-called mystery. One of the things, though, that that I do agree with you, Robert, and that is people who think that they've had an extraordinary experience are very susceptible to being led by someone who isn't properly schooled in the proper way to ask questions and to gather information from a witness. I've seen this time and time again with amateur investigators going out and leading the witness and supplying answers, for instance. It should never be a multiple choice scenario when you're interviewing somebody. You try to keep your questions as short, concise, and to the point as possible without giving the witness any sort of information that they can latch onto as a way to unconsciously please the interviewer, for instance. And I see this this lack of field experience time and time again when I've been out with other investigators. There are some investigators who I do admire and do use proper interview techniques, which are pretty standard throughout journalism, for instance. But when it comes to hypnotic regression and the abduction phenomenon, the way that it's been promoted and the way it's been sensationalized, I couldn't agree more with you. And I really do feel that this is a real phenomenon on some level, but there's a psychological component that is totally being missed by, you know, your main big-time abduction investigators and researchers. It's not surprising to me that we're seeing much less emphasis on this particular mystery as the years go by, and we're hearing less and less about people claiming to have these sorts of encounters.
Right, and I didn't mean to get bogged down into something like Betty and Barney this early either. It just came up as an example of the kind of case we were talking about. Yes, yeah, so ufology. Chris kind of was touching there on the notion that the abductology, if you will, seems to have kind of passed its peak and is now headed down. A lot of, you know, 20 years ago, a lot of people were convinced that this is really going to solve the thing. If you look at the history of UFO claims, you start out in the 1940s and 50s, and it's all based on sightings of what people think they see. And they say, oh, it's making right angle turns at high speeds and whatever. And again, this is how it was perceived. But then after a while, by the time you get to the late 60s and you have that big frenzy of sightings in the late 60s around the time of the Condon Report, which is why they had to have the Condon Report. And then the big sightings, a boom of 73. After that, you don't have anything like that. But by this time, the UFO abduction mania, if you will, or interest is growing, and people thought, well, these sightings didn't get us anywhere investigating sightings, but we're going to investigate these abduction cases, and then we're going to have proof of aliens and proof of UFOs. And then that, after a while, basically faded into the background. And then you get crashes were then the big thing, starting up in the 80s.
When we talk about crashes, though, it's mostly about Roswell, which happened in 1947. Whatever happened there,
yeah.
The discussion of crashes is mostly that. Today's UFOs, we still get cases. A lot of cases were reported to MUFON in 2012 and 2013. I mean, most lights in the sky, some were much more detailed. And
yeah.
Some had some pretty respectable witnesses involved. So, you know, I don't necessarily go with you about the trends here. The reason Roswell came up is because in the late 70s, it was dug up by William Moore and Stanton Friedman for the book that was done with Charles Berlitz. Now, as far as Charles Berlitz is concerned, I knew him. Did you?
I had met him once or twice. I remember one of these 40 conventions, I think. Oh, no, it was a National UFO Conference in 1980 in New York City, and he was there to talk about something. And I remember him sitting in the bar and enjoying himself, as I was doing, indeed, and John Keel was there. But I didn't really get to meet the guy or say much to him, so I can't say as I really knew him. But the reason I'm just talking about the, you know, the abductions and the crashes and things, it's kind of like people are looking for some way to prove that UFOs are real. And when something like this comes along and it appears to be very promising for a while, then it gradually people get disillusioned when they realize that it doesn't seem to be leading anywhere. And then they go off and try to find some other way to try to prove these things. And of course, crashes is far more than just Roswell. People make a big thing about Vicksburg and so many others. And I think CSETI has a list of, 200 and something UFO crashes, of which two are on Mars and one is on the moon or something like that. So,
With CSETI, I think they are on the moon.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's get on with more discussion with Robert Schaefer. Joining Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I didn't believe it. Neither did I. No way could you professionally remove unwanted hair, pain-free, and at home. My thoughts exactly. Remove my face and body hair without expensive, painful office visits? Not possible. Great minds think alike. Until I tried No-No Pro. Mm-hmm. Wait, you tried No-No? Yes, and it works. I use it on my face, legs, bikini line. We're BFFs, and you didn't tell me about No-No? Here, this is my new No-No Pro. The most powerful No-No made. Custom treatment levels, less hair and less time. Perfect for any skin type. Try it. No hair, no pain, no time. Consuming expensive office visits? No, no, and no, no.
For a limited time, you can try No-No Pro risk-free. You'll also get the facial kit and a travel case. Get weeks of long-lasting results.
That's it. I'm getting a No-No. Great minds do think alike.
Try No-No Pro risk-free by calling 800-952-5760. 800-952-5760. That's 800-952-5760. 800-952-5760.
Summertime is saved big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know summer is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com.
And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for summer specials, including all sizes of colloidal silver, colloidal minerals, and intestinal freedom on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, and Metabolic Complex and Pro-Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Wormwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and look for summer specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Now, let me just ask you here, Robert, because we've mentioned it in previous episodes on the Paracast, and that is, in the case of Roswell,
yes.
Some of the theories have it as maybe it wasn't a balloon, maybe it was just a test aircraft that crashed. Wouldn't that make sense?
I don't think it would, because the consistency of the people who actually saw and handled the so-called debris was largely describing it as in terms of foil, as like a mylar-type substance, the kind of thing that you find in a balloon, not in the kind of thing that you would find in a test aircraft. And also, if there were a test aircraft that crashed after, what, almost 70 years, there'd be no reason to not disclose it. So, you know, I think we would have heard about that. The people were fairly seriously looking into this for a long time. The best source, I think, of information on Roswell is the book by Carl Flock that was published, I think, in around the year 2000, with Roswell Inconvenient Facts and the Will to Believe, something like that, by Carl Flock. He goes into all these witnesses, and of course the big time witnesses, Kaufman and Glenn Dennis and so on. He goes into basically why their stories are not credible, or if you want to put it another way, proof that they were not telling the truth, that they were making up stuff. And other people, basically it was secondhand or third hand, they said, well, I had heard this, I had heard that, but that doesn't really go very far in proving anything. So I think that the Project Mogul explanation is the best overall fit for what happened there.
Let me just tell you what the book is, by the way. Carl Flock and Jerry Purnell, a very well-known science fiction writer, wrote Roswell Inconvenient Facts and the Will to Believe in 2001. Okay, yeah. Now let me just tell you something here. I understand about the possibility of the so-called memory metal being just aluminum foil or something from a balloon. We've interviewed people here on the show, Dr. Jesse Marcel Jr., for example. I did talk to somebody the other day, and of course it became a secondhand discussion. A resident of Roswell says that back in the late 50s, he talked to one of the firemen in Roswell who claimed that he saw bodies in connection with the crashed Roswell, whatever it was. All these stories about seeing bodies, you think they're all made up?
I think so. No one's about bodies. I don't think anybody saw a body. Marcel didn't claim to, neither Marcel claimed to see a body. Mac Brazel didn't claim to see any bodies. They just saw some debris or some mylar or tinfoil type stuff with sticks, tinfoil and sticks. I don't know how you build an interstellar craft. It almost sounds like you're building a kite, not a spacecraft. Yes, I think that, again, and maybe it's possible somebody did persuade himself or hallucinate or have a vivid dream or something, and this turned into something about bodies. But I think for the most part, the people who say, I saw the bodies, are, you know, it's kind of like a Me Too thing. You know, something really important happened here, so, you know, I'm going to be part of it.
What bothers me mostly about Roswell is that all these memories come forth 30 years after the fact.
Yeah.
And I think about, forget about UFOs, I think about all the movies and all the cultural icons that might have influenced it. But what about the so-called deathbed revelations, the confessions? People who are about to die and say, yes, I saw bodies. Yes, this happened. Yes, that happened. Why would they do that?
The only one of those that I'm aware of involved Walter Haut.
Okay.
The affidavit was typed up. Who was it that typed it up and gave it to him? I even forget if that was that Donald Schmidt or who was that presented it to him.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but that sounds like a good fit.
Yeah, I think Schmidt is somehow involved here, yes.
Yeah, but in any case, whoever it was, the criticism is that this was a man who was already well into his 80s, I believe, and he was in poor health and apparently showing at least some signs of dementia, and this thing... Basically, he didn't type it or he didn't write it. It was typed up by somebody else based on what they claim he said or thought he said, gave it to him and said, sign this. And he did.
You think he signed it without being fully aware of what he was signing?
It could be. It's hard to know for sure. Of course, I wasn't there and I don't know what his mental state was, but I know that critics of that have made this charge. It does seem to me odd that, you know, especially if Walter Haut spent all this time promoting the Roswell story and working with the Roswell Museum and so on and so on, and being basically, you know, one of the go-to guys for anyone who wants to write a book or write an article about Roswell, then all of a sudden, after 50 years or whatever more, he says, oh, yeah, I saw bodies. It should have come out much sooner if it was going to be credible, I would think.
Let's move to a more recent landing situation. Rendlesham Forest in the UK.
Yes.
Okay, I obviously sense from your laughter that you have a lot to say about that. So we've had several discussions here on the Paracast. We've had John Burroughs, one of the people who was there. We had Nick Pope. We had Peter Robbins. So what happened in December 1980, according to Robert Schaefer?
Well, of course, Nick Pope wasn't there any more than I was, so...
But John Burroughs was.
Yes, yes. Well.
Peniston as well.
Sure.
Right, Peniston, the guy who has this magic notebook that has binary data that he received telepathically from the UFO and has messages in it. However, he didn't tell anyone about this for 25 years or some such thing. So
you feel he just made that up?
That part of it, yeah, I think so. There's a lot of this on the web. If you look at Ian Ridpath's site, he summarizes it. It's not just any one thing. It's one of these cases where people apparently saw either a satellite reentry or more likely a meteor go by the sentries late at night on, what was that, December 30th or something. And so they went out there and they looked around and they saw a flashing light. And I think they saw some holes that might or might not have been dug by rabbits. And then basically they went back in. Then a couple of nights later, there was a similar thing. They saw lights in the sky or whatever. They went out again. Now, according to the video that was on, was it CNN or something? Within, I think, like 84 or something, 85. It's on YouTube somewhere where they said they went out. They saw some lights in the sky. They were frightened and they went back in. So it doesn't sound very exciting at that point in time, but then now, of course, it's grown and the thing now landed and Peniston says he touched it and so on.
Also, Burroughs has suffered some unusual symptoms, almost like radiation poisoning in the wake of that, which brings to mind the Cash Landrum case.
Yeah.
We have the same situation.
In both cases, the reported symptoms doesn't match radiation poisoning. people don't have these, you know, if somebody is exposed to intense radiation, it's, you know, that's going to cause them problems. You know, the symptoms are going to happen much sooner than 30 years or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. No, wait a minute here. Those symptoms occurred almost right away in the case of Cash Landrum.
Yeah.
And in the case of John Burroughs, he had symptoms pretty shortly after this.
Yeah.
They developed. It wasn't 30 years later, not at all.
Well,
he would be able to ascertain that and prove that if he was given access to his medical records, which have been withheld from him for years. And also, they tried to expunge his very involvement in the military in the time period after, during and after the Rendlesham Forest claim. Well, why would the military do that, do you think, Robert?
If they allegedly did this, he claims they did. Now, I talked to, you know, James McGahey. He knows quite a bit about the military and the medical and all that stuff. And he was there at Rendlesham, although not at the time. He was there only just like a year or so later. Now, he says anytime that anybody is discharged from the military, that they are given copies of their medical record at that time. And basically, you'd have to talk to him to get the details on this. But what Burroughs is claiming doesn't really, you know, it's a claim. It isn't proven. How expunged him from the military, I'm not aware how you, I mean, it's true that, you know, there can be problems with medical record or with military records. In fact, there was a big fire, although that didn't affect, that was before Rendlesham, but you know, just bring that up to show that, you know, records can get lost or misplaced. But I'm, you know, again, it's easy to make up a story and say, you know, I'm not denying he has symptoms, but, you know, a lot of people have symptoms of a lot of things that are not necessarily caused by UFO contact.
Okay, well, this is a lot of meanings here, and I want to get into it more, because you're basically saying that John Burroughs made up the whole thing, or a lot of it. He may have suffered the symptoms, but the circumstances and the issues involved in dealing with the VA. Let's just talk about our next segment, Robert Schaefer. We've got Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. Like when the jeweler ruined my ring and wouldn't do anything about it. But when my Legal Shield attorney called him and told him what my rights were, I received a check for over $2,100. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. Again, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.